Hey, this is Derek Wooten. I'm lead pastor of Makers Church here in Cincinnati, Ohio, where our desire is to make disciples and make a difference. Thank you so much for joining us through our podcast. We pray this message speaks life and encouragement into you and what God is doing in your life. Hope you enjoy it.
I told you, you're going to see a lot of faces today. You're going to hear about a lot of things. You say, Pastor, why are we doing that? Because listen to me, it is not enough that we gather in a building on Sundays. The call of Jesus on our lives is not just to gather, but to go. The vision of our church is to what? Make disciples and make a difference. That cannot just happen here. It's got to happen through not just what we hear, but also what we do together. And so today we're so excited. We've got some global missionaries here that you're gonna hear from today. We've got some things we're gonna update you on that's happening in our city that you can be a part of. But I wanna start with this. As you hear all these things today, Tanya, I want you to throw that scripture on the screen from James, not 1 Kings, James. James chapter 1, verse 22, and if she doesn't, luckily I can memorize, I have it memorized and I can share it with you. And if she doesn't have it, I'll go ahead and share it. It says, don't just be hearers of the word, doers of the word. Everything that you hear today, that's awesome that you heard it, but that's only 50%. If all you do is hear it, did you see what the text says? It says you are deceiving yourself. Is Jesus a part of deception? No, the enemy, Satan, he is the father of all lies. He is the one that deceives. So hear me, with everything that you hear today, that is your challenge to then do something about it. Say, hear it and do it. Look to your neighbor and say, be a doer. If we're gonna make disciples and make a difference, that is an action verb. We must be a doer. So you're gonna hear some stuff. You're gonna see so many people sharing why, because it's not just one person that's doing something. It's a church body that's doing something. And we're celebrating all that God's doing in our city and around the world. And we get to celebrate that today. So let's go ahead and give the Lord a hand clap of praise, because he is so good. Amen. Andrew, come on, join me. Alan, come on and join me. Kim, go ahead. You too, girl. Come on up here. Come on, let these folks know how much we appreciate and honor them. They're so awesome and all they do. So we're going to start. Hey, Duff, come on, sir. We're going to start today quickly by just sharing a little bit about what's happening in our community, in our city. Every week we're going out. Now, hopefully you got a couple of papers as you came in the door. Go ahead and grab those right now. If you did not get them, raise your hand and we'll have some ushers bring some to you. There's a few that didn't get them. But hopefully you can see those and see what's happening in our city. And I want these folks who are helping us with that to share just a little bit about what God is doing. Kim, go ahead and share what's happening during the week. Hit that button. Bam.
Sorry. Okay. On Monday nights, we have Light Shine Ministries. We do a hot meal and then pass groceries, fresh produce, etc., out in Batavia at the Crossing Church. That's where we meet. We've been there 5 years. We can always use volunteers. We are about building community there and not just feeding people's bellies. We want to give them good food, but we want to fill their souls. And so we can always use, this year we have started a Light Shine Kids program. We can always use people to come sit with our guests, have a meal with our guests, love on them, show them what it looks like to know Jesus, the difference of what Jesus does in your life. So that is at 5:30. We get there about 5 o'clock. So anybody that would ever like to do that. On Wednesday nights, we go out with the Makers Mobile Pantry. We serve about 80 people every Thursday night, every Wednesday night. Again, we give them food, we give them the word, we pray over them. We have seen some awesome things happen. We've seen salvations. We've seen people's hearts changed. We've seen people that just want to seek the Lord. We have visitors here that come from all of our ministries. They come and visit here. So that's a blessing from God. We don't want to just feed them. If the people that are serving, we can use more volunteers on Wednesday nights. Totally use more volunteers. I would like the people that currently serve to stand up so you can see which of your friends you can go and talk to and say, hey, what's this really like? We've got over a dozen, so I know there are a lot of other people. Thank you. And we have teams. If Wednesday night doesn't work for you, we have teams that serve every day of the week getting prepared for Wednesday nights. We are getting ready to launch our Saturday pop-ups. We're going to show up at a park with food and love and music and Jesus. And whoever happens to be at the park, we're going to love on them. We're going to introduce them. We're going to speak the name of Jesus. Who knows what he's going to do? I think the most important thing that I can say is you don't have to be some gifted somebody to do this. You just have to want to serve Jesus. That's all. You don't have to be some great speaker, some great doer. You just have to love Jesus and want to share him with your neighbors and your friends. So I would encourage you. The other third thing, and it's on there, Jim Turner. He has a ministry under the bridges on 3rd Street on Monday and Thursday nights. Several women from, or people from here also serve. He can also use meals every week. And it is, he's serving 200 people a night on those two nights. Homeless people, people that just need hope. And if we don't have hope, nobody has hope. And they need to hear from us what Jesus has done in our lives.
That's right.
So my phone number's on there. My email's on there. Don't hesitate to call me. Don't hesitate to text or whatever. I would love to talk to you and see where you might fit. If you say, Kim, none of those times fits my schedule, call me. We'll find out what does fit your schedule. You say, I want to get 10 bags of groceries and I'll pass them out myself. Have at it. It's all about bringing Jesus. The world needs him right now.
That's
amen.
Right. That's right.
The world needs him right now. So that's what we do.
That's awesome. Alan, share a little bit from a spiritual standpoint what's happening right now with our outreaches we're doing every week.
Well, about a month ago, I told Brother Duff, we've kind of been waiting for us to start preaching because of the weather. So about a month ago, we started preaching, and I just told Brother Duff, I said, we got to preach. And then the first time we preach, you know, the Lord's been giving us messages. And the greatest thing is the power of God's been there. And the first time we preached, there was probably 30 around the circle that lived in the motel over on 125 in Beachmont. And we had four get saved the first time.
Amen.
Came to Jesus.
Amen.
And they, like Sister Kim said, they've been coming. And the next week, I think we had, three or four got more saved the next week.
Right.
And then the last time, and sometimes when we preach, I had the last time we preached, Brother Duff, this guy yelled, I want to get saved. I'm not ashamed. I want Jesus. That's when you can tell what the Holy Ghost is moving.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
That's right.
I want you to know the harvest is ripe. Father, raise up the labors for
right.
the harvest.
That's right.
Come be with us.
Right.
If you want to see the power of God, amen. Get out of these four walls and get out on the streets.
That's amen. It. So I want to tell you, that's so beautiful. Those two sheets that you have every opportunity throughout the week in different ways, whether it's going to get food and helping organize here, whether it's packing bags or going out with our teams. You see the contact information. Please ask the Lord. Say, Lord, let me have time to be able to do these things. Listen, how many of you guys know we've been blessed to be a blessing? We've been blessed to be a blessing. And you'll see a couple new opportunities with some of our ministry partners, a Caring Place. They said, hey, would you bring your mobile food pantry to our place on Tuesdays and love on some families and clients? You know what we said? Yes, we want to. But we need people to keep saying yes to serving and shining the light of Jesus. So any of those things you see the corresponding contact, please reach out to them. Let them know. We promise they will respond and get back with you. And we just want to continue to get into our communities and in our city and make disciples and make a difference in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So that's exciting. We're looking forward to this summer doing some incredible things together. And so now what we want to do as you're hearing those things is we want to shift a little bit and talk about what God's doing around the world through Makers Church and some of the ministry partners that we have. And we're so grateful for Andrew. He is our International Missions Director. Give it up for Alan and Kim and Duff Orlman. They help lead our local stuff here in the States.
Hallelujah.
But we're so grateful. Andrew, I want to thank you, sir, for all that you're doing, all your leadership. How many of you guys are thankful for a church that's full of amazing men and women of God? Man, we're grateful too. So go ahead, sir, take it away.
The Lord just reminded me this morning. He said, I turned the world upside down with 12. So we've got a head start in here, don't we? We do. And you know what? It's laborers that are needed. Laborers. You know, and I think last time I spoke, I said, don't disqualify yourself. You say, oh, I'm called of God. I want to go do something. And then we put all these conditions on God and we disqualify ourselves. Come to Him with no pre-qualifications. Just say, I'm available. Amen. Now, before this next slide goes up, many times I've talked about the threefold cord. Anybody remember what it is? We've been talking about this now for about 3 years on Mission Sundays. Anybody know what the threefold cord, what are the three things that are important? I'm not doing a very good job, am I? Tanya, go ahead and put them up there. The threefold cord, we've got the prayers, the intercessors. We've got the senders, the finances, and we've got the goers, which is boots on the ground. Now, you're going to fit into one or all three or two of those. There's no excuse. As long as you're a breathing, living being, you can be involved in mission locally or overseas. Amen? Amen. So let's go ahead and put the next slide up. I'm going to give you a little brief overview of what's going on. The exciting thing is over the next few weeks, Pastor Derek said we can go ahead and put a video up during offering for the next 7-8 weeks with every missionary that's going to give updates on what's going on in the foreign mission field. Isn't that exciting? I'm excited about that because you're going to get to see what God is doing. And I'm going to just briefly mention a couple of things here this morning. We know the ministry in Nigeria with New Zealand Bible College. They have just been chosen. It's the National Association of Bible Colleges and Seminaries in Nigeria, and they have been chosen as the number one school in southern Nigeria for 6 states. Isn't that incredible? And only God can do that. Amen. But it goes further. In November, all the college faculty members from all over the country are coming. The college has been chosen to host a conference in November, and so we've got all these folks coming in. It's going to be an incredible time. But you know what? You've been all instrumental in that school being built and where it is today, and it's a school that's operating in excellence. Praise God. You know what? But you know what? There's always a battle, and I want you to spend extra time praying for pastor success and the mission up there. The bird flu. Remember, several months ago, this church funded a project for 1,000 chickens. They built the buildings. It's been generating income regularly for the faculty. You know, I believe in teaching people to fish, amen? And they have. The bird flu went through southern Nigeria and wiped out close to 1,000 of their chickens, about 800 chickens, completely destroyed it. And they were so disheartened, and they contacted me. And the Lord just said to me, you know, encourage them, rebuild, stand up, and do it again. And guess what? Funds came in, we sent the money, and they're back on track again. So praise the Lord. You know, there's always battles, but you know what? We have the victory. Amen? John and Julie Wright have just come back from 55 days in Kyrgyzstan, planting gardens, feeding, building programs. That couple, I don't know where they get all their energy from, quite frankly, but they've just come back. They were 30 hours getting back into Canada. And God has done some amazing things in the last 55 days. And you're going to see an update video from them in the next week or so. And, of course, Jerry, this morning Cindy and I got to talk with Jerry for almost an hour just recently. And she's encouraged. She was fighting some health issues there for a while. But now she's on top and she's fighting. She's fighting. She wants to see the gospel go out to the Ugani people, I think they call them, and the area that she's working in. So just continue to lift her up before the throne. And then we have Michael Utterback, which we're still trying to do a live session with that dear brother. He's a busy man, but we're going to keep trying. Amen? Then Jeffrey and Karen Beth Hakes, who are now back in Israel. They're back there. They're serving the Lord. They're helping with some of the refugees that are coming in from Ukraine and other areas. So God is really using them at this point. Then Don and Haiti. You know what? This organization, this church, this body sent the funding for a new vehicle, a little diesel truck, and he just wanted to thank you all so much. But I need you to pray, because this truck is still sitting on a container on the wharf, and they cannot get it because the gangs are controlling the ports right now. So pray that that will be released because they seriously need that truck. Of course, our brother Cruz, which I'll be talking about in a minute, and Brian and Dulcie. You know what? I'm excited because Kenneth, Mum and Dad are in the house this morning all the way from the Philippines. Amen? Amen. So you're going to get two for one today. We've got two missionaries in the house, and so it's going to be wonderful. So what I'd like to do next, Tanya, I'd like you to come up. There's a next slide that I want you to put up there. There's one more slide, and I'm going to ask Tanya to come up. And there's other ministries that we are supporting, and we're going to spend time. Come on up, Tanya. Tanya's on our, serves with Mark, her husband, on the mission committee, and God's doing some incredible things. United Grounds, we support, and there's many other works, Bridge the Gap, which has already been mentioned, and others, which over the next few weeks we're going to be featuring as we move into the next couple of months. But I want to also talk to you about Mark at the moment. Mark is down in Guatemala. You put that young man down there. You help to fund what he's doing. I got the privilege of just chatting with him a couple of days ago. He is winning souls to Christ. These young people are just hungry for the Word of God, and that's what he's doing right now. He's loving it. Some of the photographs, he's got a video that he's produced on what God is doing, and I was so excited. I wish we could show it this morning, but we're going to have to be patient. So in the next week or so, you'll get to see what God is doing there. But also, there's a couple in our midst, Caleb and Jess Cox, who are also, Jess is Mark's sister. So her and her husband are going to be going down to a different work in the same country. And so I want Tanya to share a couple of things about that.
Am I on? Okay. Hi. Champions in Action has been a ministry that goes into the most dangerous communities in Guatemala. Guatemala, the communities are rated from green to red, and they focus on the red communities. And what they do is they pull in children and they bring them to a summer camp. And because these children, their love language is soccer, so they play soccer. They bring them in, they to play soccer. But the thing that's, if I can be a little bit real, these children, what Pastor Derek was speaking on earlier, the shootings and the violence, this is an everyday event for these kids. They don't have father figures. They're at risk for gangs, human trafficking, prostitution, drug and alcohol abuse, just continuing the cycle of their people that are in their lives. They've never experienced the feeling of being safe or loved. And so they're brought into these camps, and they're partnered with a mentor. They're loved, they're fed. They get to play without fear of being hurt. Once they start opening up, they're given the word, something that our children get every day. Mm. They're given something that they've never heard before. And these children give their lives to Christ. And what's unique about Champions in Action and what Jess and Caleb are doing, they have the opportunity to minister to these children, but the mentors live in these areas, and the mentors follow up with these kids every day, every week, for no less than 6 years.
Praise God.
They make sure that what was deposited in them can stay in them. Amen. That they can walk in it.
Amen. You know what? Thank you, Tanya. You see, it's moving, Tanya. And that's how it should be. Yeah. We should be affected by what is going on around us. Well, once again, our fellowship has stepped up and helping to finance to put them down there. So give yourselves an applause. Amen. So, thank you, Tanya. I appreciate it. just in closing today, I just want to encourage you, everybody can do something. Everybody can do something. You could even, God reminded me this morning, I was talking with another couple this morning that had been on a foreign mission field. When I was on a foreign mission field, I was so far removed that the only way we could communicate was with a letter that would eventually get through to us. And sometimes it could take weeks, sometimes it could take months. Sometimes you wouldn't see it at all. And the only other form of communication was VHF radio because we were so remote. But I tell you what, that letter meant everything. It meant everything. And you know what? We're living in an age today where we have email. We have such great communications even in the most remote parts. And I want to encourage you, reach out to our missionaries. Reach out, send them a word, send them encouragement if you can do nothing else. As they say, let your fingers do the talking and encourage those in foreign fields because it means a lot. Amen? Amen. So in closing today, I would like to ask Brian and Dulcie Gaetano to come up here because you know what? We want to honor them. They labor in the Philippines. Yeah, amen. Can I have that other mic back up here? I'm not sure where it is. Blessings, blessings. Amen. Amen. We appreciate you folks. Amen. And I want to just ask them a few questions this morning. There's a video in the background that's going to play, which they kindly sent us of the work. I'm going to ask you three questions this morning. How long have you been in ministry?
I think we just started since my dad passed away. 1996. And from there on, it was passed on to me. And right now, we oversee about close to 1,000 churches.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah. The second question is, how long have you folks been married?
How long? 33 years.
33 years. I mean, that's beautiful, isn't it? That's beautiful. I'm going to ask you one more question. What's your vision for the future? Let these folks know what your vision is for the future.
Actually, International One Way Outreach has always been geared towards what the founder, the late father of Brian, Reverend Ben Gaetan, is just to build churches. We are composed of over 7,000 islands in the Philippines. So we want to build churches in all of those islands.
Wow.
Especially places where there are no churches. So we go to the remote areas. So if you can see our churches, they're not big, too small, because we want people to have the convenience of going to church. There will be no excuse for them. All they have to do is to walk to the church. It is like considered a family or a barangay at the smallest unit we have in the Philippines for them to go to church. So we still continue that vision to plant churches where there are communities that are not yet rich.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Bless you. Thank you. We're going to pray for them at the end of the service and that along with Cruz. And I'm not going to waste any more time this morning. Brother, it's a real privilege to announce our guest speaker today. My brother Cruz from Ecuador. We got the privilege of hearing him yesterday at the men's breakfast and what God is doing. It is exciting. It is exciting. So give it up for Pastor Cruz. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, brother. You know, I'm excited about what you're sharing this morning. Hallelujah. You can be seated. You know, we look at Latin America and we know a little bit of what you're doing down there. But you know what excited me? He was saying, well, I want to get involved in India because there's a big population. Let's go to India and start doing the same thing. And I'm thinking, Where do you get your energy, brother? But he did do an Ironman recently, so we know that he's got some stamina, amen? Because you need stamina for the gospel.
Oh, yeah.
So, brother, we're looking forward with great anticipation as you share this morning. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Andrew. Thank you. Thank you so very much, Pastor Derek. Thank you for the opportunity to share. I'm so glad to be here. I don't want to take too much time that I wish. So at the end of the service, you will find a brochure if you want to know a little more about what we are doing and how we are doing, how we are connected, not only with church planting, but with refugees in Latin America. So please feel free to get one of at the end of the service, and we will go deeper. I'm so excited, because in the last year, Makers Church has been a blessing, has been a family connected in a regular base, in a regular monthly base, not only in the giving, but in contact, in update. We're always sharing news about what's going on, and we feel like if I have been working with you guys for years. I'm also so excited because there are two very important people here in this place. My mom is with me. Yeah, she lives here in the U.S. She moved due to the crisis in Venezuela 5 years ago, and she has 3 years without seeing my daughter, Maria Victoria, who is here with me as well. She's in the kids' zone, but if you see that, not the Maria Victoria, 4 years old, she's here with me. I brought her by myself, and she has 3 years without seeing her. So she said, "Okay, I need to see my granddaughter, so I'll go there." So we are spending the week here. Thank you to Makers, because you are paying a five-night hotel, and for me, it's like relaxing, to be honest. It has been a blessing. It has been like vacation. Thank you, Pastor, for taking care of us and all the church who make it possible. Also, Pastor Randy Baller and Ned are here. They are spiritual fathers for me, and I want to honor them. Pastor Randy, thank you for being the bridge and the connection to make possible our relationship. Okay. So I want to try. English is not my first language, and I'm going to try to speak fast English. So if there is something you don't understand, ask the Lord the gift of revelation, okay? Or tongue interpretation. Okay, so I want to show first with my family. She's now watching online. Hola, mi amor. Yo sé que estás allí viendo. I'm so excited that she's now watching online. And this is Maria Fernanda. As you know, she was born last year in March with cleft palate. She has her surgery. And we're so thankful for God because first she was healed. She was born deaf, and 15 days after she was born, God healed her. And yes, God, praise God for that. And she had their surgery, and I want to ask you your prayers for her, because now she has problems to speak, and she's now in speech therapy. I know what he needs, so we're praying. But she's a beautiful girl, and I know that God broke her, completed, healed, and with a great purpose for the kingdom of God. So thank you for prayer for her, and we're so excited. I also have another daughter. She's not my other wife, just in case. Sophie is 20 years old, and you would say, I told you the secret last year when I came. How is possible that guy has a 20 years old daughter? I'm going to give you a secret. I gave you last year when I came, but just in case you forgot it. Giraffe, neck, grease. Yeah, giraffe, the animal, giraffe, neck, grease. You get the grease of the giraffe and you put it every night. You have 50 and you look like 30s. And you can find it in Walmart. No, just kidding. I had her when I was 36 years old, 16 years old, now I'm 37, and she's now missionary in Brazil. Sophie has been serving in Brazil, if you can go ahead with the slides, and she felt the call to go to Brazil, and she's a worshiper, she's a songwriter, and she's working with homeless and planting a church in the state of Rio. I'm so proud of my daughter, and the vision of the family is spreading through the work that she's doing in Brazil. God gave us a vision. Since I don't have church to share our testimony how we got here, but the same vision has been, we have been working in the same vision in the last 13 years, which is empowering and training locals for ministry and church planting. Because if we go and plant one church, we can impact one community. But if we train locals, we mobilize them so we can reach communities, countries, and nations. So that's what we have been doing with a global impact, because as you know, I have been working in Latin America. And I want to share the numbers and how many churches we planted in the next slide. But we change now to a global impact, because in the last 3 years, my wife and I have been praying for Asia. I'm so glad that my brother from Philippines is here. I want to have a really deep conversation with the Gaitianos, because we have been praying for the Philippines, and I have never been in Philippines. And because we have been, I know the heart of the mission in Asia is powerful. God is, I know God is going to move in a powerful way in Asia. And we have been praying for Asia in the last 3 years. Last year and this year, I had an opportunity to be contacted by a ministry in India. And they say, hey, Brother Cruz, we heard what you are doing in Latin America, and we want you to help us to plant churches here in India. And we say, wow, praise God. And they say, how much for that? No, may I pay you? I want to go to India. So we started a process. We are training them. And when we started, it's Kerala, the North India, is where Thomas, the apostle, went and planted the very first Christian church in India. And they are celebrating 100th anniversary to plant in India. So they said, okay, they said, we are planning that to celebrate, we may plant 25 churches. But after we strategize and explain them the process, they say, okay, Brother Cruz, why don't we go for 100 churches for the next year? Yes, that's the number. Let's go for 100 churches. So we are now equipping and training locals to plant 100 churches to celebrate the 100th anniversary of that church in Kerala, India. So hopefully next year we will be in India celebrating the birth of 100 new churches in that place. And for us, it's a prophetic process, because it's the beginning of a global ministry that I know God is giving us even beyond Latin America. But in Latin America, last year, we had the opportunity to train and mobilize church planters from Mexico to Argentina. When we talk Latin America, it's Mexico, South America, Brazil. When we talk Mexico, it's Mexico. Central America is Central America. Just this, Guatemala, Panama, Costa Rica, Honduras, Nicaragua, El Salvador, Belize. Then we go to South America, and we have Colombia, Venezuela, Ecuador, Peru, Uruguay, Paraguay, Chile, Bolivia, Argentina, and Brazil. That's South America. So we work in those 18 countries plus Cuba, which is not in the main land of Latin America, is in the island, but we also take care of Cuba. So in the last year, 1,139 churches were started in those 19 countries. Praise God for that. And I'm so excited about this, because they're not just numbers. This is not just 1,139 churches. No, they're real people with names. We have a database with pictures, name, address, home, pastor's name. If they have children of no, they give us a monthly report. So they are real people that we pray for them. And they are workers for the harvest. They are labor who are making the difference, bringing light in the middle of the darkness, making a difference and making disciples. With those over 1,000 church planters, we were able just last year to reach and impact over 25,000 people was saved during 2021 with the church planters process. And that's what we can measure just the first 3 months of the process. 25,000 people reached, transformed, and impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ. But also, my wife said, okay, this is good, but I know there is a powerful call for many women. And I want to create a project to train and empower women for church planting. And you know what she did? She started last year, and she started recruiting, making phone calls, the word, sorry. I'm thinking in Spanish. Phone calls. She starts making phone calls, leading a team, creating processes, designing a training program just for women. And last year, 707 women were trained and empowered for church planting. God is moving in a mighty, mighty way during this season. We are so, so excited. There are a lot of things that I can share and I would like to share, so you can check the brochure at the end. But I want to leave this morning with a word from God that I have in my heart. In the last weeks, God has been talking to me. And when Pastor, you are here saying about we need to be closer with God. And you know what I mean. I was like, okay, this is from God. This is from God. And I want to share with you the responsibility of the and the call that we have in order to accomplish the Great Commission. And I want to go, if you can go with me to Mark. Chapter 11. And I want to put you in context. Jesus was ready to go into Jerusalem. But it was not just a common journey to Jerusalem. It was his last trip to Jerusalem. Last time. So he was ready to go to Jerusalem. But now the difference is that day he was revealed himself as the Messiah. The promised Messiah. He, prior to that day, he's the Messiah. No, don't say that. And he was leaving. But that moment, he said, I am the Messiah, and I don't have any problem if they identify me. And if they say, Hosanna, son of David, Hosanna, the son, the Messiah, he's here. So he was ready to go to Jerusalem, and in order to accomplish the prophecy, that is in Ezekiel, he asked their disciples to find a donkey. Do you remember? He said, okay, go to that village and you will find a donkey. You call a colt. You find a colt. And look at what Jesus says in Mark chapter 11, verse 2. And he said to them, go into the village. Go to opposite you, and as soon as you have entered into it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. Verse 3. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately he will send it here. Look at that. That's a beautiful image, because I want you to put in the shoes of the donkey this morning. So can you imagine the experience of the donkey? Oh, my God. I'm carrying the Messiah. Hallelujah. I can imagine the conversation with the donkeys after that happened in the stable. Ha, ha, ha. I was with Jesus. That guy who died in the cross and resurrected? In my shoulders. So the donkey was a really, really a person. I might say that he became famous. Because one day he carried Jesus into Jerusalem. Which is good. Which is great. But there are some seasons where we feel like the donkey. Because in some point of our story, Jesus used us. But once he didn't need me, he sent me back to my old owner. So the self-esteem of the donkey while Jesus was walking into Jerusalem maybe was, oh my God, I mean, look at all these people. Jesus, you and I are famous. But the day after, the donkey maybe was depressed because he was left by Jesus. He saw in the cross, or maybe he was happy. Oh, hopefully they don't crucify donkeys. But at that moment, the donkey had an experience with Jesus that happened. And as you're saying, it happened, and immediately he will send it here. So Jesus will use the donkey, but when it's used, he will give back the donkey. Because the donkey was needed by Jesus, was just an instrument to be used to accomplish a purpose. How many of us feel that we are an instrument of God to accomplish a purpose? The donkey was an instrument of God to accomplish a purpose. How many of us feel an instrument of God to accomplish a purpose? The donkey was an instrument of God to accomplish a purpose. How many of us feel like an instrument of God to accomplish a purpose? The donkey was an instrument. How many of us would feel an instrument? Jesus needed, you know, we use things that we need. But when we use them, we release them. So that's why sometimes we are dealing with our identity as a Christian. That's why sometimes we feel like a donkey. Used someday, one day, but not used at the other day. Because we are not an instrument of God to accomplish a purpose. You say, what are you saying, Brother Cruz? Look at what Paul says in the Bible. It's just an image. We are not an instrument of God to accomplish a purpose. I'm a child of God. I'm a children. We are children, and children are not instruments. Do you use your children as an instrument to accomplish a mission and a purpose? Children are children. Children are not instruments. Children are part of the family. And so we don't have a purpose to accomplish. We are the purpose. When God created us as a children, as a child, he said, okay, yes, we have a purpose, a specific purpose, but we don't have to be hunting purposes. Like, oh, I don't have a purpose. I lost my purpose. Where am I? Where should I be? Because we are like the donkey trying to remember those days when Jesus used me and trying to find the purpose that I lost. You know what? Because we are not needed by Jesus. We are wanted by him. And it's not the same being wanted that being needed. Mark chapter 3, verse 13 says, and he went up to the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted. If I'm in an emergency, I need a doctor. I will use any doctor that I find. But I wanted my doctor down there in Ecuador. The one who knows me is different. I use a doctor because I need it. But I want to be with my doctor because I want it. You are not something, an instrument. You're not an instrument needed by God. You are a purpose, wanted. You are here because the heart of God, because God sees you as a child, because he has put you here with a great purpose from him to accomplish his mission, his dream to you. You are not a donkey. You are a child. You are not going to be used by God and the next day being released and give up away. Because that's what we don't do with our children. And what's that purpose? Three things to finish. First, chapter 14. Three things. And Jesus said, he called to himself those who he wanted with three purposes. Chapter 14, if you help me there with chapter 14. First, to be with him. He appointed them so they might be with him. To be with him. Our purpose is not having a good family. That's not my purpose. Maybe yours, but that shouldn't be our purpose. Our purpose is not having a good job, good finances, a good family. That's not our purpose. That's the consequences of being with him. If you are with him, the darkness won't be with you. If you are with him, the kingdom of God will be manifested. So our purpose is not having things or material things. Our purpose, first purpose, consists in being with Jesus. I'm not going deeper because Pastor explained it in a better English than me. Second, being with him for what? To preach. To send them out to preach. Our purpose is preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. I'm not a good speaker. Who says that you need to speak in order to preach? In the way that you are with Jesus, you can give, you can show, you can smell to Jesus. And when you smell to Jesus, Jesus is irresistible. Jesus is not a product that you have to be selling. Do you want to get Jesus 2 for 1, for a price of one? Jesus is not a product that you would need to be promoting or marketing. Jesus is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Son of God, our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer. So when you smell to Jesus, people will say, what do you have? Wow, you smell so good. I want to get that perfume. And you say, ha, I have Jesus. So you don't need to be speaking. And that's accomplishing the Great Commission. So glad for we are in the mission field. But America is also a mission field. This place is a mission field. It's not that we are here in the U.S. sending people out of the world. No. Your place is your mission field. And you have been called to be with Jesus in order to preach Jesus. You have to be with him to smell like him so people can see through you the grace of Jesus Christ. And third, it says, send them out to preach and to cast out demons. Casting out demons is it's not just being casting out demons everywhere. It's the manifestation of the light. When that prophetic word came, I said, wow, the light of Jesus Christ coming into darkness and setting them. So the demons go. They are go. They go when Jesus comes. So our purpose is not, as I told you, it's not having a nice family, a beautiful picture in Facebook and showing how happy we are. Or putting many zeros in our account. That's good. That's the consequences of being with Jesus, preaching his gospel and manifesting the kingdom of God. Casting out demons is the manifestation of the kingdom of God. Everywhere you are, everywhere you spend your time, if Jesus is not the Lord of that place, that's your mission field, and you have been called with a purpose to preach the gospel in that place and manifest the kingdom in that place where you're staying. So please, don't be like a donkey. Don't be like a donkey. Don't try to accomplish a purpose. You already have the purpose. Being with him, preach the gospel, and manifest the kingdom of God. When you do that, all the other things will come by consequences. And you can make disciples, make the difference, bring light because you are with him. Amen?